one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Steve Baldwin. And we're going to be talking about a book that he and Karen Holgate co-authored called From Crayons to Condoms. And I've known Steve. I think I first met him about 1988, when he was the campaign manager for Congressman William Dannemeyer, who at that time was getting ready to run for the Senate. Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
Hey, Stan.
It's sure been a fast 20 years, hasn't it?
Time flies when you're having fun.
Steve, for many years, was an assemblyman, stayed there in the Senate. I think he termed himself out, and then, of course, he went to work for a major conservative organization back in Washington, D.C. But he's found time to write a fascinating book about really what's going on in our educational system. And, of course, what is really happening is almost unbelievable. As you really wrote the book, didn't you sometimes feel that this is almost surreal? This could not be going on in American schools?
Yeah, I mean, I think it shocks people. And what's even more bizarre is that we had to leave some things out that were just too obscene. Stuff that we exposed to our children were so obscene, we were afraid of putting it in our books.
Well, some of the things I can't even talk about on this radio program, you know, because, of course, it would be a time when children could be listening. But what you have here, of course, is bad enough, and we'll be talking about that. And certainly, how long has it been that the schools have been doing what they're doing? Because most people sent the kids off to school thinking that they were what they were like when they went, and it's not like that anymore, is it?
No, it's been going on for decades. I mean, at least 25 years, our schools have been laboratories for social engineering.
And I really think this is what it's all about. They are experimenting with the minds and hearts and souls of our children. Would that be a fair appraisal?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, what's wrong with the educational system then? After all, we spend more money than just about any other country in the world on education. How could you spend so much money and get students when they graduate with high school who really can't compete with students from other countries effectively?
Yes, we spend on average $9,200 per child in America. But we use fads, whole language, new math. We have all kinds of bizarre psychological programs, death education, inventive spelling, group learning, every possible unproven fad you can think of. Our educators, for some strange reason, have picked up and implemented and made it part of the curriculum.
But isn't it true that many of our teachers don't like what's going on, are very concerned about what's happening, and realize, of course, that they're really not doing what they should be doing, and yet they're not allowed, or they'd be almost afraid to speak out?
That is true. We have teachers who hide their phonics textbooks and whip them out when no one's looking. And a lot of this is coming through higher up, and we have a lot of good teachers who struggle to fight this stuff, and so... We cannot automatically assume that this is all being generated by teachers, no.
In fact, I wonder, I don't think the teachers in the classrooms, at least the older teachers in the classrooms, remember what education used to be when we taught our kids to read through phonics, where we taught them mathematics by memorizing the mathematical tables and the multiplication and division tables, and we don't do that anymore. In fact, they have something known as the new math, and of course what they really do is they want to know how the children feel about math. What does that have to do with anything?
Absolutely not. That's called rainforest math or Nunu math. There's different names for it, but there's a whole generation of math books that play down computational skills and have word games and politically correct social type of material in it. And it has little to do with mathematics today.
Well, that's all. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this next hour is going to be Steve Baldwin, who, along with Karen Holgate, has written a book called From Crayons to Condoms. And, of course, it's a book on education. It has a foreword, an excellent foreword, by Phyllis Schlafly, who just simply points out that it was 53 years ago, in 1955, when a book was written called Why Johnny Can't Read. Why Johnny Can't Read. And, of course, they were writing about my generation. I graduated from medical school in 53, but I was a product of that. The more or less experimental program, the look-see method of learning to read. And really, of course, this deprives children of the ability to spell. It deprives them of the ability to use their mind and use it correctly. And for 50, well, probably for the better part of 60 or 70 years, we've had a program designed to fail because they know phonics works. That's why they don't use it. You pick up the story there, Steve.
Yeah, phonics is something that's been around for on and off for 40, 50 years. In fact, probably going back even further back than that. But it's not taught correctly in most schools today in America. And we fought hard in California. We actually passed some legislation implementing phonics, but we're not certain how many schools are actually carrying it out.
In other words, you as a member of the state legislature got the legislation through, and the educational establishment was just ignored what the state legislature...
Yeah, a lot of it's just ignored.
Right.
And we have some of these whole language type publishers who will claim their textbook is phonics, but it's not very very much phonics at all. Token phonics or phonics light. And we're still here in California near bottom in the country in reading skills as a result. And our country as a whole, in international testing comparisons, is near the bottom in the industrialized world.
Well, it's almost as if the people who are in charge intentionally want to dumb down our children. Did you have that feeling as you were writing this book and getting all the testimonials from parents and educators?
Yeah, we get the feeling that what our public schools have come to is more about an institution devoted to changing attitudes and creating collectivist-type students than they are in transmitting true knowledge.
And, of course, the point you bring out is that it's almost as if this is a laboratory, and our students were the lab rats, and they're going to be used in one after another experimental program, and the only thing that is certain is that they're not going to teach them how to read through phonics, they're not going to teach them mathematics the old-fashioned way, and we're doing them. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is our good friend Steve Baldwin. We're talking about his book, what he wrote in conjunction with Karen Holgate, From Condoms, From Crayons to Condoms. And you want to tell some of the stories, about some of the people that you've been in touch with, the parents, the educators, the other people who are so concerned about what's going on. And really, of course, they're furious because their children are being given all these psychological tests. You know, they're very young. They're asked about their attitude towards sex and drugs. And they're asked what their parents believe. And they're asked who their mother voted for. And collecting all sorts of dossiers on the parents of the children. And when the parents complain, they're told, oh, well, nobody else is concerned. You're the only parent who's been concerned. And yet, of course, they're taught this in the universities. They're taught to lie to the parents to make them feel defensive. Because I've heard that story at least 150 times. Why, you are the only parent who's ever complained. Didn't you run into that repeatedly, Steve?
Constantly. Constantly. And the school authorities were lying. Because we found schools where we had four or five different parents tell us similar things, and in every case they were being told they were the only one, and That's just a tactic by the school system.
And, of course, what it is, I mean, how can you have people who've been trained a lot teaching your children? I mean, can you really trust them with the heart and mind and soul of their children?
You can't. And Stan, they are doing things like altering our history curriculum, downplaying our constitutional principles, allowing radical Muslim groups to have impact in textbook adoption process. Well, we've got Muslim propaganda now in many of our comparative religion and civics texts, which just out and out lies about the Islam and what its true goals are. We have one teacher wrote a story for us down in San Diego. She was teaching as a substitute in a class one day, and about 10 o'clock, the student stood up, turned off the lights, closed the blinds, pushed all the chairs to the side, laid carpets down, and everyone got on their ground and kneeled towards Mecca and informed the substitute teacher we're having a basically an Islamic prayer service. And the substitute teacher said, what are you doing? You can't do this during instructional time. You want to do it during lunchtime? Fine, but not during instructional time. They ignored her. She went to the principal. She was ignored. She went to the school board. She was ignored. She finally got on the radio show down in San Diego and got some attention, and the school put a stop to it. But for example, if a Christian group did that, you can bet the ACLU would have a lawsuit filed the next day.
The ACLU seems to be very selective. I always like to call them I like to call them the Anti-Christian Lawyers Union. They are that anti-Christian. Yeah. They're not going to protest, you know, separation of church and state when it comes to the Muslim faith. No. It is only the Jewish faith. It's the Anti-Christian Lawyers Union. Never forget that, ladies and gentlemen. So basically, you know, and then of course they indoctrinating our students with environmentalism, and they're, you know, they believe, you know, the polar bears are all going to drown, the Arctic ice cap's going, and certainly we're all going to be submerged under the water if we live coast to the coast because the oceans are rising, and they honestly believe all these things because they're told them over and over again. And they're using our students then so that when they get out of high school or it's college, that they're going to become active environmentalists, all tree huggers. And there's nothing wrong with loving the forest. I do myself. But the common denominator for every problem is more government control. Aren't they really sort of indoctrinating our children in socialism? And
A lot of the scientists turn into faddish type of curriculum, talking about global warming and other unproven theories, but teaching the kids like it was the gospel truth. And so science in our public schools is moving away from verifiable, known facts to politically correct theories about everything from, you know, evolution to global warming. So, there's a whole ideology behind all of this, a very secular, atheistic, pagan ideology behind this whole movement, I would say.
Well, you know, one of the things that really bothers me is we hear so much about sexual abuse of children. Oh, my goodness, sexual abuse. You know that there's sexual predators up there on the Internet that are contacting underage little girls. And of course, you know, they were so concerned about, you know, sexual abuse of our children. Yet, if you knew what was really going on in the classrooms, in sex education, you know, for kids starting, you know, by the time they're in fifth or sixth grade, talk about, you know, the ultimate in sexual abuse. Psychological sexual abuse. They're destroying the modesty and the embarrassment. They're making sex so commonplace it's little wonder that a whole flock of girls under 16 at one school in the East, I think 17 of them are pregnant. You know, basically, when I went to high school, one girl might be pregnant in a class of 300 or 400 graduating high school seniors. But now, of course, there's some classes where, you know, dozens are. In fact, there's one school I heard where almost a quarter of the girls were pregnant by the time they graduated, a direct byproduct of sex education, and yet they seem so intent upon destroying the very, very moral fabric of our society and the souls of our children. And where is the outcry, Steve?
Yeah, you know, Kinsey, I think, had tremendous impact in this whole process. His fraudulent work made the allegation that children are sexual at a very young age. And of course, he brought in pedophiles and to actually molest children in front of them. I mean, I think the Kinsey Institute should be people should have brought charges against him years ago. And shortly after the Kinsey Report came out, Planned Parenthood and other sexual hedonists created a curriculum, sex ed curriculum, that embodied Kinsey's bizarre theories. And that was the birth of the sex ed movement, which, of course, has done nothing but sexualize three generations of children and led to epidemic teenage pregnancy, venereal disease, skyrocketing venereal disease rates, so forth and so on. And despite all the rhetoric you hear about abstinence, we can't seem to find it anywhere. And some schools claim they have abstinence, but when we look at the sex ed, it's really not an abstinence program at all. And I talk to some of the abstinence leaders, and they tell me it's very few schools in America have any stress on abstinence whatsoever. So, yeah, we're to blame. Our country has allowed these wackos, these sexual hedonists, to take control of our schools via sex education, revolutionize our norms, undermine our culture, undermine our moral system, our belief system, and impose the radical doctrine advocated by Sanger and Kinsey and all the other crazies that were the founding fathers and mothers of the sexual revolution.
My understanding is that they're starting here in California now in kindergarten, acquainting the children. You know, they've never thought much about sex, but they're getting them to know how normal homosexuality is and how great homosexuality is and what wonderful people homosexuals are. In kindergarten? What sort of madness is that?
That's the nationwide now, and it's all very much very dangerous because the homosexual lifestyle shortens a person's lifestyle by up to 20 years. We'll spend all this money on drug and, you know, don't smoke cigarettes and so forth and so on. Yet we'll turn around and promote a lifestyle that is could shorten your life far more than drugs and alcohol might, and that's the homosexual lifestyle. We have homosexual proms. We have homosexual speakers in schools all over America now. We have gay organizations in the school led by faculty and administrators. We have stories of schools busing kids to gay pride parades. We have history lessons. They're in California here, LA Unify. They're teaching that Abraham Lincoln was a homosexual. No evidence for that, but they're teaching that. I actually have the flyer here in my files. And it's just completely inundating in all aspects of literature, of history, of sex education. The gay lifestyle is everywhere. Irresponsible school board members have allowed this to happen.
Well, but the problem is that when conservatives or Christians try to run for the school board, why, they'll bring in hundreds of thousands of dollars to defeat them, you know, of course.
Right.
And then, of course, if they ever get on the school board, they'll harass them. They'll get midnight telephone calls and light threatens to their life, you know. And then after, 4 years or so, they get off. So really, the school boards are primarily made up of people, at least in my experience, and I've been out watching this for the better part of 50 years. You know, really made up of people who have a different agenda, who are actually elected by the educational union, the NEA, and of course what's going on today is their agenda, and that is to corrupt the morals of our children. You know, one of the interesting things is that here in America today, we have 60 million Americans with a sexually transmitted viral disease. 60 million Americans with a sexually transmitted viral disease. That's just the viral diseases. Then we got the chlamydia. Then we got the gonorrhea, which is bacteria. We got the syphilis, which is the spirochete. And there are all sorts of sexually transmitted diseases. When I went to medical school, there were 5. Now there are over 20 of them. And, of course, they're all playing and having a devastating effect on the hearts and minds of our children. We see the advertisements for Valtrex, a medication you can take if you've got, you know, herpes so that you won't spread it to your sexual partner, and they're all smiles there. And they ought to be weeping because, you know, somebody once said, what's the difference between herpes and love? Well, herpes lasts forever, and that's the truth. The tragedy, the American people don't understand that sex education is responsible in our educational system, and what really bothers me, Steve, is that the churches have not spoken out. The churches have not opened up their doors during the week to form schools where parents could come and get the kids out of these hedonistic education, which is practiced in our public schools. Why haven't the churches been involved? Any idea? why aren't they constantly harping on this and focusing our attention on it rather than on so many other issues?
Yeah, it is disappointing to see Christian Church in America first forego the responsibility to be involved in education. I mean, 90% of the Christian churches that are empty Monday through Friday, they could very easily have Christian schools set up, but most don't. And their failure to speak out from the pulpit is very disturbing. Over and over again, they seem to have decided to forego the battle.
Pull that up. We'll be right back with Steve Baldwin. Well, Steve, you go right ahead. You were just saying that Jesus seemed to have not wanted to get involved in this battle for the souls and for the souls of our children.
I think they have decided their 501c3 status is God, and they're more worried about their C3 status than they are educating the flock about the truth. And I have told some church leaders, I think you should just get rid of your C3 status. If you can't tell the truth because you fear that tax status, you ought to get rid of it. And I don't know any churchgoers who would decline contributing to their church because their church suddenly lost her C3 status. And a church in my area in San Diego did just that. A Calvary Chapel said, you know what? We believe we are called to be involved in the political process. We don't believe the church is supposed to exempt itself from the political process. And therefore, we are rejecting our C3 status. And we're no longer going to be tax deductible. And their church is still thriving. They still receive the same amount of contributions as they did before. And they are actively, they endorsed me. They endorsed me when I ran for state assembly.
Well, I'm sure you know that really helped. I had sort of a covert endorsement by one of the ministers when I ran for Congress. He didn't actually endorse me. He just asked me to speak before the Wednesday evening meeting with about 250 people. And the Wednesday before we went to the polls to vote, and I won by 250 votes in the Republican primary. So I've always felt he was responsible, and I really did appreciate that. He was a very courageous minister right here in Santa Cruz. I wish we had more ministers of the, you know, the integrity of Pastor Roy Kraft. Well, certainly, you know, now, what are you doing? You're still working back in Washington, D.C., Steve?
Yes, I'm still executive director.
All right, fine.
CMP.
All right, fine. And, of course, Steve did a great job back there in Washington, D.C., and a good conservative. So what can we do about what's going on in the schools? This is the thing. We know all these bad things are happening. We know that phonics works. We know that traditional math works. It works for kids all throughout the rest of the world. Why aren't we allowed to educate our children so they can compete effectively in the world?
Well, we do give some ideas to parents about how to fight this stuff if they really want to fight the battle inside the public school system. We actually offer legal resources if their rights are being violated, like their child, for example, is being downgraded for writing a paper about Jesus Christ, for example. I mean, if their rights are being violated, their constitutional rights, we do have access to attorneys who will take up their case for no fees at all. And we also give some ideas about how to be involved in the process and how to form a parental rights organization. But you have to have a lot of parents involved to have enough pressure to have clout. You can't just be a lone parent. And I've seen it done successfully in a couple places around the country where 30, 40 parents got together. They attend every school board meeting. They run candidates. They endorse candidates for the school board. They raise money. They get on the textbook curriculum selection committee, and they get far more involved than what you see so often. You see a lot of parental involvement in very surface-type activities like bake sale committee. Well, that's not where the action is when you want to influence the policies of a school district. You're going to have to put some time into organizing a large group of parents if you want to have impact. And if you're not willing to do that and you can't handle what's going on there, then you're going to have to figure out a way to get your child out of the school system, either homeschool or private school. And it may mean that a parent takes on a second job.
Hold that thought. We're going to be right back here in just a moment with Steve Baldwin. Well, This is Dr. Stan. I was just asking Steve, and what are we going to do? How can parents react? And, of course, Steve was talking about the fact that if a child, is actually discriminated against for their religious beliefs, and so many times they will be discriminated against, and they'll be marked down, and they'll get poor grades because, of course, they express their Christian beliefs, then there, of course, is a means of countering that. And I don't know where you're thinking of Brad Dacus, but we have Brad Dacus here in California who runs the Pacific Justice Foundation, does a great job of, and anybody out there who's into a position like that, where the child is being discriminated against, why, you get in touch with us, and we'll put you in touch with Brad. And I'm sure that Steve also has some people he can think of across the country that will help parents when their child is discriminated against because they are a Christian. But, of course, Steve is also saying that, certainly you can get involved, you can try to change the school system, and I admire the people who try. But I've been working at this for, 48 years. No, 46 years now I've been involved, and we've tried over and over again. I finally got to the point of just saying, get your children out of the government schools, because, they've got billions of dollars that they're willing to expend to control your heart and mind and soul of your child, and there's no way you can counter them financially, and they have the control of the media, they have the control of your local newspaper, maybe your local television set is a television station. But you have control of your child, and then you need to get your child either homeschooling or a private school. What are your thoughts on that, Steve?
I do think that we're not utilizing a resource out there. Millions of empty church buildings that sit there empty Monday through Friday, scattered throughout this great country. And I would think every church would take it upon themselves to put together a committee to explore how to start a church. It may mean raising money. It may be going in with 3-4 other churches nearby and using their facilities for classrooms and tapping into this pool of talent that most churches have, their flock, to find people who are most churches have a pool of retired professionals, people who are capable of teaching. And they have to look upon this as a mission field. So many churches, if we send money all over the world, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, that's probably a good thing, but we also need to think about our own children, because we're losing our children to a secular culture, to a hedonistic culture, and they better start thinking about education as a mission field right here in our own backyards and utilizing what the church has already, the assets the church has right now, to create a Christian education system, a school. That's been my biggest gripe with organized religion in America, their failure to basically allow an entire generation of youth, many generations of our American youth, to be indoctrinated by the public school system, to hate America, to accept collectivism, to be misinformed about the Constitution, to accept a homosexual lifestyle, so forth and so on. We're committing suicide here.
Amen to that. Well, of course, we actually, Radio Liberty, carries a homeschool program. It's put out by Dr. Arthur Robinson. Only costs about $199, and it'll take your child all the way from kindergarten all the way through high school. Literally all the school textbooks are included, except for the mathematics textbooks. All the tests for the questions, the answers to the questions, a lot of other books, old-fashioned books like Little Mary Finn and Tom Sawyer, and they're all there on these 20 some discs, CDs that come with the program, and all of the entire program, and you can use it for many children, you can use it for one child, you can use it for for 50 children, you can use it for all your children, you can use it for the neighborhood children. And of course, I know Dr. Robinson personally, his two boys, when they graduated from high school using this curriculum, went right into the third year of college. They were so much further ahead than the average child who gets a free education in public schools and is intentionally dubbed out. So if anybody's interested in knowing more about the Robinson homeschool curriculum, I'll put a plug-in for it. We think it's great. We wouldn't carry it otherwise. And Dr. Robinson's a personal friend and has done a great job. He raised all of his children, all six of them, on this program. And the child educates themselves. You don't have to spend a lot of time. That's the beauty of it. You have a child, and of course you get them out of the public school environment. They can begin to learn because children want to learn. It's unfortunate they're being deprived of that right. And there's nothing worse than destroying the mind and the heart and soul of our children. And that, in my estimation, and I think, is the goal of public education today. I think you'll agree that with that when you read Steve Baldwin's book, From Crayons to Condoms. And you may want to weep. We'll be back in just a moment here with Steve Baldwin right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest today is Steve Baldwin. His book, From Crayons to Condoms, of the Ugly Truth about America's Public Schools. So, certainly, as you write the book, of course, it really is a lot of testimony from parents and from teachers about their experiences. How did you get all of these testimonials, Steve?
Well, when I was chair of the Education Committee in the California Legislature, I held hearings on phonics, on new math, and very controversial hearings that the Democrats were absolutely upset that I was holding hearings on these items. But it got attention in that the press was covering what I was saying, and as a result, parents from all over, not just California, but from all over the country started writing me letters, sharing with me horror stories. And Karen Holgate at the same time was collecting letters, and we decided, you know what, these parents, their concerns are not being heard by anywhere. They don't have the time to show up in the legislature to testify at hearings. They rarely are able to be heard, and we need to have a book that formalizes their complaints, because there were certain patterns in all these complaints we had received. But a book that would lay it all out. And so we collected about 400 or 500 stories. We actually had to turn aside quite a few for space considerations. But we organized them all in the way you see them organized the book: Islamic indoctrination, homosexual indoctrination, psychological activity, so forth and so on. And just reading through the book, you can kind of sense the frustration in the words of all these different stories by parents. And the commonalities, the patterns that emerge in all these stories, for the most part, they were ignored by their school. They brought their concerns perhaps to another level higher, and they were ignored again. And maybe they went all the way up to the school board and ignored again. And for the most part, most of them did not have their concerns ever addressed.
Well, you know, sort of reading your book, well, you get the feeling that the people who are in charge of education feel that all the normal parents are abnormal. They're all ill. Every child is ill, and they're going to have their minds clarified by the schools and learn what they've learned at home. I mean, that's a rather frightening thing.
Oh, yeah. The education community doesn't like these parents having say in the system. For, to them, they are the experts, not the parents. And indeed, especially those pesky Christian parents, they instill that pesky Christian value system in the kids that we just have to undo. And so there was that arrogance that I sensed.
Hold that thought, Steve. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, this afternoon. Of course, is Steve Baldwin, formerly the chairman of the Education Committee in the Assembly of the State of California. And now, of course, he's working back in Washington, D.C. And when he was actually in the state capitol here in Sacramento, where the state where I live, why, he had the opportunity of holding hearings, and people would write from all over the country to tell the horror stories of what had happened to them. He kept those testimonials from the people, and Karen Holgate did as well. And so they published a book based upon all of the letters and communications they got from parents across this country, whose hearts and minds and souls of their children were being destroyed by our educational system, and of course what happened to them when they went and complained. And they were always told invariably told, why, you're the only parent who's ever expressed any concern about this sort of thing. You must be, and they don't say it, but the infant says, you've got to be some sort of a weirdo because nobody else is complaining, and it was all a lie. They teach our teachers, they teach our administrators in public schools to lie, and they do because, of course, they want to change our children, and that's what education is really about. And do we really want to give them the opportunity to destroy the religious and moral beliefs of our children? They're doing a pretty good job of it. Well, anyway, Steve, do you have a website or any advice how people can get copies of your book?
Yeah, they can go to Barnes & Noble, their website. Amazon just reported they were sold out, but they're going to have more in stock, I think, by tomorrow. The WorldNet Daily, WND.com, they're my publisher. They have a publishing division now. And you can go to WND.com and order the book there. So it's pretty much all around.
All right, fine. So the book is readily available. And of course it's an excellent book. Reads very well. Forward by Phyllis Schlafly, and she does a great job as well. Karen Holgate, who's going to be our guest on, I believe, Tuesday evening on our evening show, certainly co-authored this book right along with Steve. What sort of response have you gotten to the book, Steve?
Some of the educators are not happy with it. They don't like the idea that we've exposed what's going on in our public school system. So we've had a couple hostile educators call in. But for the most part, when we're doing a call-in show, we have parents call in and share similar stories.
Well, why don't we ask if there's parents out there or anybody who has a question or comment, or if maybe you disagree with Steve. That's what Talk Radio is about. Give us a call. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, it's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. And if you agree, if you disagree, what you think about the fact that the parents should get their children out of the government schools because the children do not stand a chance there. I know when I, of course, was growing up, young people living together outside of marriage was known as living in sin. There's no such thing as living in sin today. In fact, there's no such thing as sin today, at least not in the vernacular of the public, of our schools, and certainly of many of our churches. Sin is a thing of the past. We're living in a wonderful utopian society where anything goes. And sexual morality, well, that's something just for prudes. And yet, of course, the end result of what we're doing, 60 million Americans with a sexually transmitted viral disease, and that's just the viral diseases. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. If you have a question for Steve, because he's been on the front lines of this battle really for a long, long time. Steve, are you ever going back into politics, do you think?
Oh, only if there's a court order.
But you did an awful lot of good when you were up there in Sacramento, though.
I hope I did. I felt frustrated because I was definitely one of the more conservative members, along with Tom McClintock and a couple others, and you felt like you're spinning your wheels. But I have no desire to run for elected office. Maybe as my kids get older, I have four young boys. As they get older and they leave the house, maybe I'll return to that someday. But not at this time.
Oh, right, fine. Well, Steve did a tremendous amount of good when he was up there, and I often go up and hear some of the hearings, and he was always certainly on the right side on all of these issues. So, what we need, of course, is more good people running for political office, and then we need the good people out there getting behind the good people who are running. Unfortunately, the other side is very well organized. And the good people are not organized. They just want to be left alone. Unfortunately, they're not going to leave us alone, and they're certainly not going to leave our children alone. They've targeted them. They've dumbed them down. They've destroyed their fabric of morality in our country, and certainly we're in real trouble. And I believe that one of these days there are going to be terrible repercussions. In fact, we already may be seeing them here in California. where, of course, we have over 1,000 wildfires burning at this time, over 1,000 just in this one state. There are at least 100 that they don't even have the personnel to try to stop. And, of course, tomorrow we're talking about the dry lightning coming in with dry lightning strikes and even more in the way of fires here. Maybe God isn't very happy with the way things are going here in California, especially the fact that just a few weeks ago we legalized, of course, gay marriage, leading the country, and, of course, encouraging the death style, which is what homosexuality is about. Well, is there any of the stories that really stand out in your mind of parents that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, we have a boy who killed himself. His mom wrote a story for us. We actually had access to 4 or 5 parents whose kids killed themselves, but only one of them was willing to write for our book. And it was all part of this death education. Death education is the name given to a variety of exercises and games and literature that emphasize death and dying themes under the theory that by exposing a child to this dark, depressing material, somehow it makes them better psychologically. I have no idea how they get that. But give you an example, lifeboat. They tell a kid he's on a lifeboat and with his mother and his father and his brother and his sister, and they only have so much food, and they have to throw someone overboard, the sharks. Which one of your family members do you want to have killed? And that's very common in schools throughout America. Another test is
values clarification, I think.
You got it.
Values clarification. Why would you submit a child's mind to that sort of thing unless you wanted to produce terrible damage to them?
We had to pass legislation, Stan, in California. It's one of the few bills we actually got passed as a conservative movement that bans teachers in California from practicing psychology without a license. It passed with both party support when I was there, because so much of this is going on in the California schools.
But, of course, do you think it did any good? I mean, certainly the school administrators don't abide by the law. They have their own agenda.
No, I doubt anyone even paid attention to it. And you have kids that write epitaphs. You know, they tell the kid, pretend you're dead, and we want you to write down what you want on your gravestone. Now, if you have a kid that's already depressed about maybe something going on at home, and he comes to school and is exposed to this material, it could push him over the edge, and it did. The mother that wrote the story for us, her 9-year-old son went home and hung himself.
And, of course, the thing is, they have all this material on suicide education and writing suicide notes. Why would they have a child write a suicide note in school? He doesn't know how to read. He's not taught mathematics. Why would you teach him about suicide or writing obituaries and things of this sort? They're playing games with their minds, and they're destroying their souls. This is what's so tragic. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. I would simply comment, I was in the battle on sex education back in 1965 when it was coming in. We already knew what it was going to do because they used it in Sweden. And as soon as they brought sex education into Sweden, by the incidence of pregnancy out of wedlock and immorality, it just shot up, just skyrocketed. And then, of course, they said, oh, we want to bring it into America. We said, why? Oh, we want to bring it in here to prevent unwanted pregnancy. You know, we're having one or two girls pregnant, you know, when they graduate from high school in a class of 400. We've got to do something about that. They did. Instead of one or two girls, they might have 50 girls pregnant or 20 or 30 girls pregnant. They knew what they were doing, but they could not tell the American people the truth. Well, Steve, you know, I think it's so important, your book, what you've written. And certainly a number of people have commented on this. And you mentioned that you've had some pretty angry people in public education. What was their excuse for what they're doing? How do they justify not teaching our children to read? How do they justify not teaching our children mathematics? How do they justify that our children don't understand the very essence of our country or don't understand history or civics, but they can sure tell you an awful lot about condoms?
Well, yeah, they avoid these issues, and when they call in, they typically say, we don't have enough money. If we only had more money, we would do a better job. And that's a bunch of baloney. We have Utah spending $4,000 a year per student, last I checked, and it's one of the highest performing schools in America. And we have, you know, states like New York and New Jersey spending three times that, and among the lowest performing. So it's almost an inverse relationship between how much money we spend per student and academic performance. And furthermore, the private schools typically spend far less per student than any of our public schools do. So money is not the answer, never has been, never will be. Give them all the money in the world, and not much is going to change. But that's what they always say, the educators. They come on the shows, and they say, we just don't have enough money to do a good job.
And, of course, what they want is a very much smaller classroom. I know my wife, when she went to school, I think they had 40 or 50 children in the classes, and she got a wonderful education, and she's a lot smarter than I am on a lot of things. So, yeah. But it's not the class size. It's how things are taught. But, of course, they're trying to tell us, oh, if we just had more money, you give them more money, well, we just need more money. And you give them more money, and oh, if we just had more money, this system has been failing for 70 years, and it's still failing today. And we're not going to change it, I fear, by trying to get in and work through the system, because the system is rigged. You know, and certainly, have you run into some of these people who've run for school board and then have, of course, this whole left-wing apparatus mobilized to try to defeat them?
Yeah, we have elected conservative school board, and indeed in my home county, San Diego, but they suffer an amazing attacks and on their credibility, on their integrity, a lot of union money thrown at them in the re-election. And they end up spending every waking moment defending themselves and neglecting their families. And many of them drop out after a while because it's just not worth it to them.
And they really harass the families. They harass the individuals who dare to buck the system. And so it takes somebody with a lot of integrity. You know, got a very, very thick skin, is willing to put up with it in the hope of helping our children. Well, certainly, of course, you mentioned, of course, the children, a number of them you know who have actually died as a result of the death education. You know, the whole idea of why would we want to give our children death education? Why would we want to take them to the the cemetery so they could read the headstones of all the people that died? Talk about macabre. And really, the thing that really bothers me is the sexual molestation of the very souls of our children that goes on in our schools today. I mean, we talk about, oh my goodness, pornography on the internet. Well, I don't think anything more pornographic than what they're teaching our children in schools. What do you feel about that, Steve?
Oh, yeah, it is out of control. And we have examples collected from all over America of, quote, authentic literature. This is a new category of literature that has now replaced traditional literature that you and I grew up with, the Red Badge of Courage and Mark Twain and Huckleberry Finn and the great American classics, those are gone. They've been long gone for years. And they're being replaced with authentic literature. And these are books about pedophiles and gang rapes and heroin addicts and riots and just books that focus on the fringes of society. Very dark, very depressing, and we wonder why we have a skyrocketing teenage suicide rate. You ought to look at the literature going on in our schools. They're horrible. And four-letter words all throughout these books. Pabbis.com. Anyone go to www.pabbis, P-A-B-B-I-S.com. That's a guy in Virginia who's collected all the literature, all the most common literature selections that are found in public schools, and he puts excerpts of them online. And he's got a list of hundreds and hundreds of these with the F word and other similar words. So we're teaching our kids to be coarse and obscene. And why should anyone be surprised at what happened in Massachusetts this last week, where these teenage girls made a pact to all get pregnant all at once? I mean, we've stripped any semblance of values away from our schools, and that vacuum has been filled by hedonism and moral relativism and paganism and New Age concepts, and we wonder why we have all these problems going on with this generation of youth. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out.
I agree with you, and of course the great tragedy, of course, is that the average parent doesn't understand what they're doing to their child, and then they wonder why the child begins to withdraw, why the child becomes rebellious, why they can't have a discourse with their children. and somehow they feel they're responsible. They're not responsible. Many times in the schools, why this educational program is dedicated to turning the child against their parents and saying, you mentioned several times that, there have been various things that have been said that parents don't understand you, parents don't respect you. So, things that, that are actually designed to turn the child against the parents. And then they always tell them, but don't you ever tell your parents what you've learned in school. That's just between us.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, of course, it's a very real, real problem. But, of course, there's no better way to destroy a great nation than to corrupt the morals and hearts and minds of their children. And they've been at this. They know exactly what they're doing. This movement's being funded by the Carnegie Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, the good old Ford Foundation. Remember that next time you want to buy a car. And, of course, understand that these people know exactly what they're doing. They just do not want the American people to know. And the great tax exempt foundations funding these educational think tanks want to change the whole outlook of our children. They want to change our society by changing our people. And they certainly don't want a very smart people. They want people to be docile, who go right along with the agenda. It's sort of it's frightening to see how effective they are and how little resistance there is from the good people in our society. How do you feel about the Federal Department of Education?
It's unconstitutional, first, for starters. And secondly, there's been no evidence whatsoever that the existence of this federal department has had anything to do with improving academic performance in America. In fact, as it spends more money, it tends to make things worse. And No Child Left Behind was a disaster. Why President Bush even thought that he could unveil a new federal program was ridiculous. I mean, the Kennedy and others got a hold of that and watered it down and used it for their own purposes. And
well, this was basically Ted Kennedy's program.
Yeah.
It wasn't George Bush's. Ted Kennedy's program. He couldn't get it through, but he had a good friend. His name was George W. Bush. And of course, he got through Ted Kennedy's program, and then we wonder why we're having so much trouble today. Same thing with the Medicare drug bill. Ted Kennedy couldn't get it through. Republicans got it through for him. Well, Steve, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program here.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
All righty. Well, I think Americans need to start waking up. They need to wake up and understand there are people who want to destroy our Constitution, our culture, our way of life, and the major transmission belt for those who are out to destroy us from within is our public school system. That is where the bulk of our social engineers are. That is where brainwashing is taking place. That is where students are being conditioned to accept large government, a collectivist way of life, a value system based upon moral relativism, and the notions of free enterprise, patriotism, of constitutional values are being destroyed systematically. And if Americans don't wake up and do something to reject our public school system, this country is going to go downhill quickly.
Well, I think we're already on the way down, but I don't think it doesn't have to happen. It can be turned around if there are enough people who really care. So right now, what can people do? What would you suggest that they do right now after hearing this program?
Research homeschool options. Research private school options. Figure out how to get kids out of the public system as quick as they can.
I think that's an excellent suggestion. I thought you were going to say buy my book, because I will recommend people do buy your book.
Well, that too. I mean, if they want reasons for doing this, buy my book.
All right, fine. Of course, the book, again, is From Crayons to Condoms, The Ugly Truth About Americans' Public Schools. And of course, the average parent has no idea what's going on, other than he knows that something's happened as far as his children are concerned. They get to a certain age, and they become very rebellious. Oh, it's the hormones, you're told. Oh, it's the hormones. No, certainly there are changes that come physiologically. But, of course, what they're doing is playing games with their minds. And until people understand that, that there is an obvious effort, an organized effort to turn children against their parents, to turn them against our society, to tell them how terrible America is, that we need to be internationalists, we need to embrace environmentalism, we need an all-powerful government to control us from the cradle to the grave so we can have equality. We got to get back to the American concepts, don't we, Steve?
We absolutely do. We have lost sight of everything our founding fathers wrote about and expected this country to be like, and we've moved away from there dramatically.
Amen to that. Well, I want to thank you very much for being with us this afternoon. We'll look forward to seeing you one of these days. It's been, as I started out saying, I've known Steve for 20 years since he was the campaign manager for my good friend Bill Dannemeyer. God bless, and talk to you later.
Thanks, Dan. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course the book is From Crayons to Condoms, and of course we have a few copies of it here, but you can get that off of Amazon. If you really want a copy, why, you can give us a call. And I think we have three copies or so. They're $25.95 each, plus tax, plus shipping. But it's a good fundamental book if you do not understand why Johnny can't read. And then, of course, we do hope that you want to get some of the other material we have on education. We carry books on outcome-based education. You have to understand that the No Child Left Behind program was Ted Kennedy's program. He couldn't get it through. So we brought a Republican in who could get it, Ted Kennedy's programs through. The same thing with the Medicare drug bill, which I mentioned earlier. The Democrats didn't have enough clout to get it through. And so we brought in a Republican president who would put through the legislation pushed by Ted Kennedy. Now, you have to ask yourself, why? Well, I will tell you why. And that is because in the year 2003, the Bush Foundation, the Family Foundation, with Father Bush and Brother Bush and George Bush, gave an award to the Outstanding Citizen of the Year. And you'd never guess who the most outstanding citizen of the year, and I believe it was 2003, was. There was a man named Senator Edward Kennedy. And so you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, there's not a dime's worth of difference between the Republicans and the Democrats, and they're not going to have much of a choice at all in November of this year anymore than we had a choice in 2006. And so many people voted for the Democrats because they wanted to stop the war in Iraq. And they didn't understand it's all a game. The Democrats say we're going to stop the war. They had no intention of stopping the war, at least not the leaders of their organization. A few idealistic Democrats really thought they were going to accomplish something, and of course the Democratic Party came out to crush them and keep them from getting reelected. You have to understand that we have a one-party system with two branches. We have a controlled media. In fact, 90 to 95% of the media is controlled by AOL, Time Warner, by Bertelsmann, by Viacom, by Disney, and by Fox Media. And because Fox, of course, is publishing an awful lot of our Christian publications at the present time, which is one reason Christianity is having as many problems as it is. You have to understand these people have a different agenda. It's covered in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. It's covered in my talk, The Forbidden Secret. That's The Forbidden Secret. It's covered in our talk on the planned police state. It's covered in our talk on the world revolution, where you'll see my interview with the former ambassador to Cuba, who will tell you how the State Department and the CIA intentionally brought Fidel Castro to power because they knew he was a communist, but we couldn't tell the American people that. You need, of course, to get my DVD, my interview with Professor Sutton, Tony Sutton, and of course there we talk about the best enemies money could buy and how we financed communism from its inception because we needed an enemy to rally the people behind the government leaders. And of course we financed the North Vietnamese during the Vietnam War so we could keep the war going, just as we're financing the Taliban by financing the Pakistani military, by financing the Pakistani government to the tune of billions and billions of dollars. And then the Taliban, of course, are killing our boys in the poppy fields and the villages of Afghanistan. Another no-win war. The best enemies money could buy. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please go to our website, radioliberty.com, radioliberty.com. Watch our videos that are posted there. Watch, of course, the other videos that my son has posted. Some of them are excellent. well worthwhile. They're short, but of course they all have an important message. And then, of course, we ask you to listen to our programs there. They're available, actually, 4 hours live every day on the Internet, and the 4 hours are archived. Our Saturday programs should be posted up there. You can get them on MP3 and get other people listening there to understand what's going on. We're involved in spiritual battle. There are powerful spiritual forces, supernatural forces that are working within our society today. They know exactly what they're doing. But, of course, the average Christian, the average American doesn't. And then pray for America. Pray for revival. Again, our number 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.